The One Where Uther Had a Cow, written by Solar Cat and read by Eos Rose. The child! Uther turned from his wife's body, so still, to the midwife, but the midwife was not there. The priestess was there, holding a bundle of cloth, from which issued strange cooing noises. Your son! She nodded to the bundle. Though... What? He snapped, hand still tangled in Igraine's cold fingers. He loosed his grip and reached out, taking the bundle from her. That is, the magic. There seems to have been a mistake. Uther pulled back the corner of the blanket that had been obscuring the infant's face. When it was revealed, he nearly dropped the bundle in shock. What is that thing? That is not the son you promised me. Uther's face grew red, his whole being radiating fury. Nimue stepped forward and took the bundle. Yes, well, it's not like I do this every day, is it? She snapped back. Clearly, there has been a mistake. Clearly. Uther's voice was quiet, nearly calm, which Nimue knew was simply a warning of the coming storm. Moo! The bundle cooed. Nimue reached into the bundle and rubbed the infant's nose. He waved a hoof at her. Still, he has your eyes. Nimue very much enjoyed watching Uther throw furniture against the walls. It was much more amusement than she ever got on the Isle of the Blessed. I think I can fix it, she said some days later. How? Uther asked, hopeful but suspicious. A spell. He'll be completely normal. She spoke with confidence, and the hope slowly overcame the suspicion. Will it be permanent? He attempted to tower over her, which he could do, but it did no good. That sort of thing rarely did when the person being towered over could squash the tower-er like a bug with a flick of her wrist. Nearly. Nearly. His voice rose, growing louder and sharper, and she raised a hand to silence him. Every spell can be undone. This particular spell is very strong, and it would take a very strong force to undo it. What sort of force? A sorcerer could unwork it, of course, but that sorcerer would have to be nearly as strong as I. Uther's eyes narrowed. And that is all? Nimue thought for a moment. Well, I suppose true love's first kiss would also work. It usually does with things like this. This spell isn't traditionally used to make people look normal, you understand. She shrugged. Uther could work with that. Do it, he ordered, and she inclined her head and went to make her preparations. Uther Pendragon was not a simple man. He took precautions. For one, he executed every sorcerer to set foot within the bounds of his kingdom. She had claimed that it would take a sorcerer of great power to overcome the spell, but Uther was not going to take chances. Every magic user in Camelot, from the priests of the druid tribes to the lowliest village hedge witch, fled the land or met the executioner's blade. And for another, he raised young Arthur according to a strict plan. By the time the boy became a youth, became a man, he was spoiled, self-centered, and prattish. He was often cruel to the servants, and while he had dalliances with the young noblewomen of the kingdom, he discarded them easily, and had gained something of a reputation for it. Uther considered this a job well done. And then Merlin arrived in Camelot. It took Uther no time at all to place the boy at Arthur's side. For one, he had saved Arthur from a sorceress, and who could know what enchantments, or worse, counter-enchantments, had been placed on that blade. And for another, he and Arthur couldn't stand each other. This was excellent, since Uther had noticed Arthur occasionally passing glances at the young noble men, and even a few at the young serving men, which was a problem. Yes, it was absolutely perfect. And then, somehow, the two of them managed to fall in love anyway. But Uther didn't know about that. "Merlin," Arthur murmured into Merlin's hair, running his hands down the other young man's back and pressing them closer together. Merlin clutched at Arthur's waist, kneading the soft flesh there in a way that could have been painful, but was anything but. "I love you," Merlin murmured back, resting his forehead against Arthur's shoulder. "I don't even know when." Arthur pulled away slightly, releasing Merlin's body to frame his face with his hands. He brushed his thumbs along Merlin's cheekbones, something he'd wanted to do for longer than he felt like admitting. "Yes." He couldn't say it, not yet, but Merlin's eyes sparkled, and he smiled so happily that Arthur couldn't hold back any more. He had to kiss Merlin, and Merlin seemed perfectly fine with that. A few minutes later, Merlin woke up on the floor of Arthur's chambers, wondering what in the world that strange light had been and how long he'd been unconscious. He'd been unconscious! And once that thought penetrated, he shot up and looked wildly around. "Arthur!" he called out, but there was no answering voice. There was only, "Moo!" Merlin blinked. He was quite sure there had not been a cow in Arthur's chambers before he had been knocked out. It took a moment, in which Merlin's brain came up with all sorts of outlandish theories, including brain-stealing aliens, which was crazy, since he wasn't even sure what an alien was, nor why they should be interested in brains, and least of all Arthur's. If someone wanted to steal a brain, surely they'd want a working one. But finally, Merlin noticed the cord around the cow's neck. The cord, from which dangled Arthur's ever-present red horn pendant. Merlin's eyes widened. "Arthur!" he gasped. The cow only mooed again, only it seemed to be looking at him sadly. And it had Uther's eyes. Oh, shit. The end. This sequel to the one where Uther had a cow, written by Lowry and read by Eos Rose. Merlin decides to hide Arthur so he can go consult with Gaius, which is going to be bloody hard to do since his prince and, you know, boyfriend is now a cow, and he's being all bovine inside the castle. Merlin's plan is to take Arthur outside, and if the guards find them first and wonder why there's this cow in the prince's room, Merlin is going to blame it on Arthur's knights drinking too much ale and making a silly bet. But he's got to have a way of telling Arthur from the other cows, and leaving Arthur's pendant around his big cow neck would be giving away this secret. So he slips the necklace over his own head and hides it under his red kerchief and his slightly grimy shirt. Besides, he and Arthur have kissed, so he should be able to wear a token of Arthur's esteem. Well, he's pretty sure that Arthur esteems him. It's actually hard to tell, the way Arthur can be such a prat of epic proportions towards him at times. So Merlin picks up a bell that Arthur usually uses to summon him to polish boots, or to make up the bed, or to scrub his back. It's lying on the bedside table, and it's always been damn annoying to listen to, because Arthur, when he was a human and not a cow, would ring it incessantly, just so that Merlin would come and pay him some attention. Then he ties the bell around Arthur's neck, and Arthur gives a plaintive moo at him and tries to shake it off, looking absolutely ridiculous. But since Merlin has a kind soul, he pats Arthur and tells him he's going to help him, and ponders that, maybe this would be a good time to confess that he's sort of, kind of, a sorcerer? After all, Arthur can hardly lecture him or assign him extra duties as punishment for not sharing his secret, or throw him in the dungeon, or make him take a turn in the stocks, getting all sorts of rotten vegetables hurled at him. Arthur takes the news quite well. He just lowers his head and stares at him with those big Uther eyes of his. Merlin supposes this is the silver lining to his boyfriend turning into a cow. So, he does sneak Arthur out. That invisibility spell comes in quite handy, he's found, and takes him to the pasture outside the castle, and leaves Arthur dejectedly eating grass. And while Merlin is confessing to Gaius that he kissed Arthur because, well, he loves him, even if Arthur does act like a prat most of the time, and really, Merlin should probably see a therapist about that, which is beside the point because now Arthur is a great big cow. Bull. Because yes, Merlin did look. And Gaius looks at him with his one droopy eye and sighs, and then hugs him, and then spills the beans about the truth of Arthur's birth. And then it's off to the deep, dark, deep cave to exchange a few words with the dragon, who laughs and belches fire for a good half hour before settling down and teaching Merlin the spell to change Arthur back into his disguise, or rather, back into a human. Merlin was practicing the words to the spell in his head as he walked back to the pasture, ready to change the cow he loved back into a man. And really, would shaking Arthur count as bestiality? But Arthur was gone. Only an enormous pile of bullshit was left at the place where Merlin had tethered the crown prince to a tree. Feeling panicky, Merlin summoned his magic and felt his eyes turning hot. He magnified the sound of the bell and made the notes freeze in the air so that he had a trail to follow. And it was a bloody good thing that he did, because when he found his boyfriend, Arthur's balls were about to hit the endangered species list. All this time, while waiting for Merlin, who was a bleeding sorcerer, and Arthur planned to noogie Merlin into crying uncle for not telling Arthur about this till he'd been turned into a bull, Arthur had been having furious conversations with Merlin and his father in his head. Still, he was a bit hungry, so no harm in snacking on a little grass. He was still berating his father while chewing his cud, because he just knew his father was at fault here. And, well, arguing with Merlin was second nature to him now. Really, he was so looking forward to all the makeup sex he and Merlin would be having from now on. So, yes, he wasn't paying as much attention as a knight of Camelot should have been, and he didn't notice the rustlers sneaking up on him until it was too late, and there was a rope around his neck. "Look here at this fine cow," one of the rustlers said, and obviously, as a rustler, he sucked and was a moron because, hello, Arthur was obviously a bull, and a well-hung one at that. Was the man blind? Still, fine cow was a bit of a compliment, wasn't it? We could sell that cow, and no one would be the wiser about what happened to it, if we did a little snipping and made him into a steer. If he was fattened up some, he'd fill the larder nicely when it's winter time. I know someone who's a deft hand at castration, and then we can sell the beast at the market come Saturday. The other rustler was stroking his chin and looking thoughtful. He was obviously a much more clever bloke, which meant Arthur was in real danger here. Which is how Arthur found himself in a barn, not too far away, and about to lose his balls. He was mooing for all he was worth when Merlin blew the barn doors open and stalked in, eyes all glowing yellow, and really, that was kind of hot. Merlin shouted some mumbo-jumbo, and the two rustlers and the fellow they'd asked to do the deed were knocked on their arses, and then some rope that had been hanging in the barn slithered over to them and proceeded to wrap all three up tighter than his father's royal purse. Then Merlin, looking not quite so fierce, stood in front of him and said, "Now, Arthur, will you promise that you won't tell your father I can do magic and that you won't give me any punishments? The last time you sent me to the stocks, it took forever to wash the stink of rotten potatoes from my hair, and I bloody well caught a cold from the dungeon." Arthur mooed at him and tried to convey that, really, he was grateful that Merlin had saved his balls, and he was tired of being a cow, a bull, and he wanted to go back to kissing Merlin, which evidently had started this whole cow thing in the first place. And Merlin made his eyes go all glowy and gold, and definitely, that was seriously hot. And said a bunch of words that made no sense at all, and then there was a flash of light, and Arthur gave one last moo before he passed right out. When he woke up, he was himself again, and the men who had cow-napped him were gone. And Merlin was being quite useful, since he was letting his lap be Arthur's pillow. While he was drowsing, too comfortable to get up yet from his comfy boy pillow, Merlin explained that he'd warned the rustlers to leave the kingdom, or else Uther would hang them, for both cattle rustling and for almost ending the Pendragon line. And then he gently explained about the small mistake that had been made at Arthur's birth, and how it had all been fixed until they'd shared true love's first kiss. Which, now that they'd gotten that out of the way, meant they could kiss and shag as much as they wanted, and Arthur would remain the same old bully and prat that he'd always been. Arthur supposed this was one of those experiences that contributed to character growth, and it was a bit hard to feel very regal when you'd been led by a rope around your neck and you'd been a bloody cow. And he'd been rescued by his very inept servant. Embarrassing, that was. Well, Merlin was lousy at doing the royal chores, but he was a very good friend to have around. And they'd been doing something rather fun before he'd been turned into a bloody cow, and he'd like to get back to where they'd left off. "Merlin, you're a really terrible servant. You do know that, don't you? But you're a fantastic sorcerer and a cute boyfriend, and I know I'm a prat. But I'll try and not be such a jackass anymore. I suppose that if I am, you'll lift the spell and I'll be a bloody cow again." Merlin started to shake his head no, but then he got a thoughtful look in his eyes, and Arthur decided it was time to distract him before he took what Arthur had just said too seriously. So he picked himself up, and then pulled Merlin up, and started backing him towards a stall that was heaped up with clean, sweet-smelling hay. And so ends this tale of enchantment and true love, with a rather good roll in the hay. The end.